Welcome to another edition of Marketing Insights, a monthly podcast where we talk to industry leaders about key issues, trends, legislative initiatives, and association news that affects all of us who serve in the construction, industrial, and MRO markets. Sit back now and enjoy as we learn together.
Today we are fortunate to have with us Bob Mader. Bob is currently, he wears several hats with Penton. He's the editor-in-chief of Contractor Magazine, Radiant Living, and Green Mechanical Contractor Magazine. So he's kept pretty busy. He's been around the plumbing HVAC marketplace since 1984, and he has plenty of good insights for us. Today, Bob is going to talk to us about water conserving plumbing and what it means to both the contractors as well as the end users. So, Bob, thanks again for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us. You've picked a good topic here, so let's get into it. What do you have to say for us?
Well, I wanted to begin by talking about the tremendous strides that the toilet manufacturers have made over the years. I think a lot of people will remember in the early 90s how unhappy most consumers were with their low flush toilets back when the law was changed in 1992. Mm-hmm. Back then, a lot of the manufacturers just made anything, because with 5 gallons per flush, 3.5 gallons per flush, you never had any issues. I mean, those things could flush a bowling ball. So when the toilets were limited to 1.6 gallons per flush, it caused manufacturing problems. I mean, now you go to these toilet manufacturers and they have a laboratory full of PhD engineers, and they do computer models of you know, how the water flow goes through the toilet. So the 1.6 gallon per flush toilets today are extremely reliable. Most of the manufacturers now have 1.28 gallon per flush high efficiency toilets. And there's one manufacturer that actually has a 0.8 gallon per flush toilet that uses water pressure, air pressure in the tank to flush effectively with less than a gallon of water. So we've come a long way.
Like, I guess that probably translates too into a big savings, because again, I don't know how many toilets there are in the world, but obviously it's a very common thing.
Well, there's hundreds of millions of toilets, that's for sure. Yeah. And the problem is, in the U.S., probably about half of the toilets that are in homes today are still 3.5 gallon or 5 gallon per flush toilets.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, for people switching them out, would they save a lot of money short term or long term?
It depends on their water rates. One problem with water in America is it's just way too cheap. And from some studies that I surveys that I've seen, unfortunately, water is cheaper in, say, a desert area like Phoenix than it is in the Northeast, where they get a lot of rain. The water rates don't make a whole lot of sense. But long-term, yeah, you will save a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. That's good. What other water-conserving trends are there in the plumbing industry?
WaterSense, the EPA program called WaterSense, has got a lot of great products. They started out with lavatory faucets, which were very easy to dial down to 1.5 gallons per minute without affecting your ability to wash your hands. And the WaterSense program has spread to include other products. I mean, toilets, naturally, are in the WaterSense program. Any of the 1.28 gallon per flush high efficiency toilets are WaterSense labeled. That label has also been extended to shower heads. So those are shower heads that put out less than the federally mandated 2.5 gallons per minute.
Okay, that's good. What are the kind of trends are they talking about for down the road as far as more energy efficiency, or are they starting to max themselves out?
Well, in terms of water efficiency, Well, there's one thing that's really hot right now, and as a matter of fact, it's got a lot of the industry hot right now, is that the Department of Energy, which really has jurisdiction over this issue because it's been given that authority under EPA Act 92, the Energy Policy Act, is that they've issued a reinterpretation of the law that says that it's not just a shower head that has to be 2.5 gallons per minute or less. It's everything that comes after the mixing valve. So, all those showers that are like, the shower is a car wash with multiple heads and, rainfall shower heads and body sprays and stuff like that, those would become technically illegal if DOE's interpretation stands up. The plumbing manufacturers and a lot of plumbing contractors are really up in arms over this. But sometimes I wonder why they're protesting too much, because from the numbers that I've heard is that less than 5% of the showers have more than one shower head. Less than 1% are very elaborate showers with multiple heads and body sprays. So if that's true, it makes you wonder what's the big deal. The next thing that's going to be big is some sort of water recycling and water reuse. And a real obvious one is rainwater recovery and reuse. And, you do that as simply as getting a rain barrel and using that for landscape irrigation. Landscape irrigation uses an awful lot of water, depending on where you're at in the country. Americans use about 150 gallons per person per day, which is a lot. I mean, especially when you compare it to, say, Australia, that uses 150 liters per person per day. It's only about a quarter of what we use. And that depends. Like, people in, say, Vermont don't use a whole lot of water. People in Arizona, Nevada, they use a lot of water. They may use as much as 300 gallons per person per day, and a lot of that is for exterior use. So rainwater recovery, putting in a rain barrel or a tank or a cistern or something like that, is a really simple and really obvious way that you can save water. The other thing that's going to be coming is gray water recycling. And gray water recycling would use, let's see here. I don't want to say that you can include things that you can't include here, so I got to look this up. You can use the water from a shower, a bathtub, or a washing machine. And they're a bunch of packaged systems. I mean, they're like appliances that you put in the basement that will filter the water so you can reuse it for, say, toilet flushing. You can't reuse water from the kitchen sink because it's got grease in it. And obviously you can't reuse water from the toilet because, that's still pretty nasty. And there are ways, for commercial industrial buildings, there are ways to treat and reuse black water, but that's not really practical at the residential level right now.
Right. Well, it's funny, your comments about the water conservation. We have some friends that we visited out in Santa Fe that build a house out there, and that's just part of the normal thing that they've got water recovery cisterns, because again they lived in the desert or the mountain portion of it, but they don't get a whole bunch of rain. But yes, here in Ohio or in Illinois or again the East Coast, we get plenty of water, and we're not cognizant of that.
I think a lot of people have the wrong attitude about water supply. Even Seattle, where it seemingly rains constantly. I mean, they've got to come up with a long-term water conservation plan. What's the growth in the number of households each year? Say over a 30-year period. How much water will they use? Where will that water supply come from? What kind of say legal restrictions are we going to have? What kind of long-range forecast can we put on surface water? And when you look at it over a period of decades, and they have to come up with, like, okay, what do we need to do to conserve water? What kind of water-saving fixtures do we have to mandate in new dwelling units, things like that. A lot of people think just because it rained last Tuesday that there's no problem. But, you know, that's not the way it works. You got to think over a very long span of time on how you're going to supply water. I mean, especially for an area that might grow by 100,000, 500,000 people over a 30-year period.
Well, yeah, Seattle is not the first city that comes to mind, but certainly Las Vegas and Scottsdale and Phoenix, you know, as you go down the Colorado River, I mean, I got to believe that the farther south you go, the water supply it gets to be less and less and less.
Yeah, I mentioned Seattle specifically because I once heard a presentation from a guy from the Seattle Water Utility about how they go through it.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, even in the Pacific Northwest, they're putting a lot of thought into this stuff.
Well, again, it's a natural resource that, we all take for granted, but yet it's not unlimited.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, good. Good. Any other insights you want to share with us this morning?
Yeah, I think I run dry myself.
I can't believe it. An editor that runs dry, right? But you brought up some very interesting points this morning. And again, we all need to work toward the water conservation issue. And obviously, we may have no choices if the government continues to mandate some stuff. So, but again, Bob, I thank you very much for your time today and your insights.
My pleasure.